Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Have you ever wondered what factors in a city or in a nation contribute to the moral deterioration of that place? What makes cities like Paris, San Francisco, Las Vegas, and Reno such cesspools of sexual immorality? Is it because those cities have greater wealth than others? Do they depend on their wealth and forget about the living God? Do they say, "Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die"? Has the leadership of those communities allowed houses of ill repute, sleazy entertainment, and alcohol-saturated behavior to dominate their cities? What have churches contributed to the moral atmosphere of our nation's cities and communities? Have the preachers been negligent in opposing evil, all evil? I ask you to think seriously about all of this as we discuss the moral background of Corinth. There is hardly any doubt that the wealth generated by Corinth's strategic location contributed to its being a materialistic society. The people generally had plenty of money and seemed not to care about their moral and spiritual condition. The city's theaters probably produced plays that helped to destroy the moral values of the people at Corinth. Obviously, they did not have movies or television, but they may have learned some of the same immoral lessons from the plays that were very popular among the Greek people. If we believe that what we see has no bearing on our behavior, we are not very observant students of human conduct. In the words of Alfred Lord Tennyson, "I am a part of all that I have met." The religious practices in pagan temples at Corinth made trying to be decent and honorable very difficult. When preachers or priests or rabbis are scoundrels, children and adults will likely adapt their behavior to what they witness in their religious leaders. If the leaders fail to take a stand against adultery, homosexuality, and other kinds of sexual misconduct, members of various churches and non-church members will find justification for their misbehavior. The pagan priests at Corinth were as immoral as any of the prostitutes who roamed the streets at night selling their bodies to the sailors who passed through Corinth. Aphrodite, the so-called goddess of love, was supposed to have left her legitimate husband, become the mistress of another god, and had an illegitimate son by him. Such a god or goddess can hardly be a model of virtue and holiness. The temple of Aphrodite, with its 1,000 sacred prostitutes, glorified all kinds of sexual immorality. No wonder the word Corinthianized became a synonym of debauchery and degradation. Paul provides some very disturbing information about the city of Corinth. "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither sexually immoral people, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Is Paul saying that the Corinthians were like that before they obeyed the gospel? Please listen. "And such were some of you," that is, some of them had been adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, and so on. "But you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. And how did the Corinthians cease being adulterers, thieves, and such like? The answer is neither difficult nor mysterious. Paul preached to them that Jesus was the Christ, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Acts 18:5-8. When the Corinthians believed on the Lord, repented of their alien sins, and were baptized into Christ, their sins were washed away, and they were added to the church of the living God. Acts 2:38, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Thank you for listening. May God continue to bless you.